Welcome back. Time for another episode of SLMA Radio. A rotating series of shows. Today's episode is Outstanding Outbound, a monthly program with our host, Marianne Vanilla. She's the author and CEO of the Vanilla Group. Been a frequent guest here in the past, and now she has her own program here in the SLMA. The show is designed to explore the growing field of outbound lead generation for large deals like yours. Brought to you by the Vanilla Group. Welcome, Marianne Vanilla. Hey, Marianne.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. I am always interested in the idea of outbound. You know, the whole world still thinks it's all got to be inbound. All I got to do is crank up enough stuff and the phone's going to ring. But we still got to reach out once in a while, too, don't we?
Yeah, and you know, it really has again and again proven to be highly effective. The problem is people do take calls, they don't take bad calls. Mm. And usually companies put their weakest people on the front lines. They'll put really junior people people that just don't have that executive presence. And so, you know, it's not a good use of people's time when they pick up their phone and, you know, it's somebody trying to get them to, you know, have a conversation or schedule a meeting when they really aren't conducting themselves as a peer with that person.
Yeah,
so
right.
That's really the key to it, is having somebody that is an equal match on the phone to that executive.
So it's not the idea that outbound is dead. It's just we need to create outstanding outbound so that people will want to engage with you. Right.
Right. Bad outbound is dead.
All right. Good. Well, who'd you bring along to teach us outstanding things today here?
Well, I have Dave Farrow with me, and he's just super brilliant. Did you get a chance to look at his bio?
I did a little bit here, and I'm just intrigued to hear how he's going to, his whole sort of thing is like B2B sales reps have to think like entrepreneurs, you know, that's...
Yeah, and, you know, so Dave was listed twice in the Guinness Book of Records for greatest memory. He owns really successful PR and digital marketing agency, and he's an entrepreneur that really mastered PR, but he also understands the sales piece of it. So he brings all these multifaceted skills to his own company. He took his skill in memory. He developed some really successful educational products, and he used PR as his primary sales tool. And you know, you can look for him all over the place. He's done like 2,000 media interviews. He's been on Dr. Oz and Steve Harvey and the Today Show and CBS Early Show and Live with Regis and Kelly. I mean, he's got a really impressive portfolio of people that have featured him. So I'm really, really excited to have him on the show today.
Well, let's bring him on. Dave Farrow, are you there?
I am here. I'm looking forward to this, man. Vanilla is my new flavor for today.
Well, thanks for being on. I'm really excited to get to chat with you.
Yeah, no, this is fantastic. I've looked into your show since we first connected, and I think this is going to be a fantastic interview because, you know, it's really a synergy between the two of us, so we might come up with something that nobody's really heard of anywhere, and they're listening to it right now.
Yeah. And, you know, I think one of the interesting vantage points that you have is looking at you bring a lot of experience that you've been able to package into a solution. And, you know, that's similar to what I did. It's like everything I know and I package it into a solution. So I think that the challenge that a lot of companies have when they're staffing their sales teams is, you know, they need to look for people that really are thinking like an entrepreneur, people that have a business owner mentality and not so much of an employee mentality, because they're going to get somebody that really has a lot of skin in the game. And I know you get that. I get that. And I think a little bit of tweaking in the hiring process and really opening their mind to something new as far as how to develop their reps, I think is going to make a big difference.
Well, I actually think that the tweaking sometimes needs to happen in the people doing the actual hiring. You know, the
Absolutely.
Next generation is far more entrepreneurial. You know, assessments, we're doing a media pitch coming up real soon for some of our clients about Generation Z or Z in Canada. And the next generation, they all want to be YouTube stars. They don't want to get a college degree and climb up the corporate ladder. Even the term fast track is considered, you know, kind of an odd term to them, because they want to essentially almost have a gig-based career where, you know, they're able to, you know, kind of work for a few different places, have some freedom. The world is becoming more entrepreneurial. We need to change our hiring practices to match.
Yeah, absolutely. So what would you say? I know, and it's really hard to kind of boil it down to 3 points, but what would you say are 3 things that have impacted your growth or your success the most in taking your experience and putting it into action?
Yeah, I thought about this question a lot before coming on, and I would have to say the 3 main things, I would put it down as 1, cash flow. 2 is reputation, and 3 is the sales process. So I can break that down real quick if you like.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, so cash flow, you got to keep the lights on. It's as simple as that. You're not in business if you're not in business.
Right.
And so many people, they have so many people, you know, entrepreneurs are such optimists, and they look forward to and they think, oh, you know, I'm going to launch this and it's going to be a great success. Well, what if it's not? You know, you got to keep the lights on in the worst case scenario. And I've been through a lot of worst case scenarios and gotten through them. And anybody who's still in business today has been the same way. So I got to make sure that my bills are paid. Sometimes that means not being as ambitious. Sometimes it means not paying for the service that you think you need, or coming up with some creative way to do it. But also sometimes, most of the time, what it means is just get a lot more sales than you think you need, because you need to have more cash flow than anybody originally thinks. You need more money to run a business. And biggest mistake that, you know, a first-time business owner does, I'm talking the solopreneur, somebody who, you know, is selling their services on the internet, let's say, they charge too little. You know, you're not charging what you're worth. And then they don't take into account that they have to pay tax even, or that they have other expenses, or they have marketing time to take in. You know, they're just thinking of the time it takes for them to do the job. And so that's 1 cash flow. Reputation is obvious. I will you know, do more to, you know, repair a bad situation than even to, you know, prospect anew. I think a lot of times people treat customers like they're disposable, but if you're in it for the long term, you can't, and you can't do that anymore, because your reputation is going to get around to you and kick you in the butt on the internet, and it's much, much cheaper to make a customer happy in front of you who's not happy than to try to repair the damage they could do after they leave, you know?
Yeah. You know, I want to mention something about reputation, because I do think that people need to apply that. Even as a sales rep, it's not the company's reputation, it's your reputation. And it a lot of times, I know this one situation where a rep was trying to sell one of my clients something, and I was involved in that sale, and, you know, they were our best friend through the whole thing, and then, you know, we ink the deal, move on, and then the implementation is like a disaster. And I asked my client, I'm like, hey, when was the last time you heard from so-and-so? And they said, we haven't heard from her since the day we signed the deal. And I thought, you know, that is reflective on her, because one of the things I ask people when I am interviewing them is, tell me about a time you really went above and beyond for a client. And what I'm looking for is a situation like that where, oh, we implemented something, it went terrible, and I really made sure that I drove the fix here and I got involved because I convinced them to buy this thing. And
yeah,
so
absolutely.
You
know, it's just like in a restaurant where, you know, the standard procedure, I don't know if anybody's noticed, there has been a shift in restaurant, I don't know, in the last 10 years or so. But it's standard procedure, every major restaurant, the waiter, waitress comes over to your table after the food's arrived just to make sure that everything's good. You don't need salt, you don't need pepper, you don't need anything else. And that used to not be standard. Now it's absolutely standard. I think every sales rep, after the sale has happened, you know, put it in your calendar, make a task to follow up a month later. And, you know, the reason they don't is they're afraid they're going to get complaints. They're afraid they're going to have, you know, they're going to hear the bad stuff. But that complaint is a sales opportunity. You know, if you go, oh, my God, I had no idea you were treated this way. Let me go look into it. I'm going to talk to their supervisor. I'm going to see if I can help you. All of a sudden, that customer feels like you're on their side. Even if they hate the organization, they like you. And if you can resolve the situation adequately, then you know, right around the corner, there's going to be another prospect, another lead landed right in your lap that's hand-delivered and cared for you. So that's an opportunity missed, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, so that kind of is a good segue here. So as a founder, what do you make sure you do during your sales cycles?
Well, I mean, the sales cycle can be a lot of different things, but I'll tell you the one thing that I would say is that I try to have the philosophy of being more like a fisherman than a hunter. You know, a lot of people, when they're thinking of sales, they think of you know, going out, I'm going to, you know, bag that big game and put out a ton of effort and get it. And what I want to do is I want to lay out some bait and I want to jiggle it a little bit. I want to get your attention and be like, hey, you like this thing? This is a really cool thing. Let's talk about it. And hook a bunch of people. I mean, maybe it's because I work in PR now, but we talk about media hooks. We, you know, blast out a campaign to, you know, tens of thousands of people in the media, and a certain number of them get hooked on it, and then we give them more information and kind of reel them in, if you will. That's kind of the way I see a lot of sales. And too often salespeople, I think maybe ego gets involved or something, but they want to push to get the sale when really they should be pulling. They should be drawing them in. And I don't know, it's kind of a philosophy thing. I hope it answers your question, though.
No, I agree. I think that's great because, you know, I know a lot of times the first touch with prospects is some sort of digital communication, like a rep. I notice more and more some of the teams I'm working with, they don't even prospect by phone. They prospect via email. And it's funny because I make it a point to not use email as much because you can have a really rich conversation and get a ton of information. Or you could have this, like, dismal little email thread that goes back and forth a bunch of times and you still don't know anything. So I really avoid email. But I do find more and more teams are relying a lot on email. So how could they apply an elevated approach, like you take with clients, to make a difference with their engagement? Like, what's something that you make it a point when you're doing campaigns?
Well, I think the use of email is just an economy of scale. You can send out an e-blast to thousands of people in an afternoon. It's really hard to make that kind of touch point manually. But here's some of the things that I make sure to do, and I think it's really translated to a lot of my clients or a lot of my employees here. It's not so much a official policy, but one of the things that can help is that people do expect that there's going to be a follow-up email sequence. They do expect that there's going to be some robo-marketing and things like that. So I would suggest don't try to disguise it or hide it. Just say, yeah, we're going to enter you into our system. You know, you'll get some content, you'll get some you know, flyers, you'll be able to see some of the work that we've done and everything. But here is my cell phone. If you really need me, if you need to answer a question, you text me. I'll take care of you right away. But you know, obviously we're incredibly busy, so you know I can't talk to everybody as much as I'd like to. But you know, so it's kind of like you're explaining, hey. You know, we're going to put you in this robotic sequence that is, you know, dehumanizing and everything, but we're going to do it for a reason. There's content there. But if you need me, I'm here. You're important to me. No matter how busy I get, that doesn't change the fact that
Absolutely.
You're important to me. And hey, I think little things like that save you time, but also give you that personal connection.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to break for a commercial for 1 second. And then we'll be right back, and I want to talk about your masterful memory. So, okay.
And we'll let everybody digest that for a second while we remind you that the Vanilla Group, sponsored to today's show, is committed to give back to our customers more than just great leads. That's right. They're not here just to give you great leads. Their objective is to deliver a customized, strategic sales development solution that is sustainable. Imagine that. Something you can do over and over again. The Vanilla Group solution is designed to invigorate your entire sales operation. They provide your sales team with new revenue opportunities and a continuous stream of ongoing selling activities. If all those adjectives sound appealing to you, then there is a way you can achieve this mission, but it requires a partnership. And as your trusted partner, Vanilla Group is going to do their best to make it happen for you. So for more information, go find out. VanillaGroup.com, just like it sounds. VanillaGroup.com. Because there is hope for outstanding Outbound as we get back to Vanilla, Marianne Vanilla's conversation with her guest today here.
Excellent. Thanks, Paul. So, yeah, I when I found out that you have these world records, I think that is just so amazing. And I know that you design a lot of courses for, as well for clients. What do you think is missing from the training tracks that most reps are on? And where does memory play a role in the sales process?
Okay, well, yeah, that's a really good question. Yeah. Now, just so you know, my experience is both in the private sector but also in academia. I speak a lot at colleges, and I have one of my memory courses is prove it as an optional credit through Cal State University in San Bernardino, so we went through the university system. And we do a lot of academic enrichment actually in high schools for students as well, so we're still doing that today. So, yeah, I guess I have designed a lot of courses, and I didn't think about it. I'd have to say what makes... Well, the Faro method, we sold about $10 million worth of that, and that's a best-selling course. So I'd have to say what makes a good course is a few things. I think effectiveness really comes from exercises, from actually doing something. So theory only takes you so far. So most of the time when people learn, say, a new software program, it's like, hey, let's send your first batch email, or let's, you know, sort through your first group or something, and you actually go through the steps to do something. I think also really good training can be goal-oriented, like on-the-job training, kind of like apprenticing under somebody else. For a long time, when I first started my PR firm, I had all the experience with media, and my employees had you know, little to none. I got them, you know, right out of college. And I was going over, you know, here's how we make a pitch, here's how we do it, and I was basically designing all the pitches, and they were, like, feverishly taking notes. Now, to their credit, they took those ideas I had and made them much better. You know, the result was better than I would have come up with on my own. But it was all on my shoulders. And then, you know, a shift happened after they went through a few of them. They started seeing patterns, and then they started coming up with pitches that were better than my idea. So kind of that sort of junior-senior reps working together can be very helpful, people seeing how it's done. And you know, the real learning happens by doing, by application. And it's weird that I say that being the memory guy, because you'd think I'd be all about theory because you just memorize a bunch of stuff. But, you know, real learning is you memorize everything that you need to know, and then you actually apply it.
Right. Yeah. And I know that you personally write down important details. I think that an important thing about using memory is remember to write stuff down, because I know one of the things that I find is a lot of times with sales teams, you know, they've got their CRM system or they've got whatever, and they have this great conversation and they think they're going to remember everything about this conversation. Yeah. And so they put some, you know, cryptic little note in the system and they think, oh, this was great, I'll never forget this. And then they go back in there 90 days later and it's like they barely remember the conversation. And more importantly, the prospect barely remembers the conversation. So they don't really have any data to re-engage and kind of refresh their memory. So how would you say to convince teams to put those systems to work for them?
Absolutely. Well, first off, the rule is that everybody has to understand and know it, so you can't have certain codes that only work for one person and not somebody else. And I used to be guilty of this, too. I used to put, because I came from a call center background, I used to put LM for left message, you know?
Yep.
A TT for talk to somebody, you know, and like that was my own code. And then other people were looking at this and I forget what they thought LM meant, but they thought it was like something completely different, like something mail related. So it has to be in plain language, because you never know who you're going to be hiring. You never know who you're going to outsource. You never know a consultant's going to come in and look at your stuff. The other thing is it's actually really important to put in the emotional states. I think it's not just, you know, send them a packet and follow up in 2 weeks. It's, you know, this person really, really wants to achieve that. This person's looking for this. This person takes pride in that. And so tell me something about the person that I'm talking to. And that's really what makes the difference between good and great in sales is when somebody gets on the phone with you. If I got on the phone with you, you know, 2 weeks after, you know, and I was talking about, you know, your goals in PR and what you want to achieve, and especially where you saw your career going, and I knew that right off the top of my head, you'd be like, this person gets me. This person understands me. Here's my credit card. I mean, it really is as simple as that. that. And I want to say, I don't want to sound flippant. I'm not suggesting anybody take advantage of anybody or manipulate them. It's quite the opposite. Take an interest right. in who they are, not just the mechanics of the sale.
Yeah, I totally get that, because I'm a big believer in that, because you got to know, are they going to be a champion? Is that somebody that's a little bit conservative and they're a little hesitant to adopt new things? And so those are really important data points. We've only got just a few minutes, and I know that we've got a lot of marketing executives in our audience too. So what do you see starting 2019? What's something that marketing teams can do to support sales this year? Like, what's a data point that they can take into their planning?
Well, I'll tell you, if they're having a conference, they can hire me to speak. I'll memorize all their names, and that's a fun event. Just to put an unabashed self-plug in there.
that is awesome.
Yeah, no, but seriously, though, you know, going forward, what organizations can do, you know, for their sales processes, I'd have to say that I really wish we could bring lightheartedness and humor back. And I don't mean that, like, I think a lot of the stuff, you know, all very important stuff that has happened in corporate culture these days, everyone's afraid of any sort of lighthearted nature. You know, we've gotten rid of office Christmas parties and people go to the bar after work and everyone's terrified of everything. But that doesn't mean you can't smile at people. You know, it doesn't mean you can't have fun, use a clean humor, you know, and make it a pleasant environment, because that will never go out of style. And I think that's the pendulum swung so far, everyone's afraid to open their mouth. But if you just realize, hey, if you're a decent human being and not a jerk, then yeah, open your mouth and make someone smile and be nice and give someone a compliment and be nice. And I'd like to say that is going to make the biggest edge, because everyone's terrified. The pendulum has swung so far in the other direction, and it really didn't have to, you know.
Yeah, I agree. And you're right. It's gotten very stiff because everybody's very paranoid, and it really has to be fun. I mean, that's one of the things that I make sure is it's got to be fun. And I remember back even when I was working for companies, and if I would interview with a company, and that was really key, is, you know, kind of the emotional tone of the company. So if it's going to be so intense and everybody's all stressed out of their mind, or if it's a real creative up atmosphere, that's really important. So I want to let people know how to reach you. So your website is farrowcommunications.com. It's FARROW communications.com. And I know that you do consultations for people. So how would that work? How do they reach you?
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, if you go to the front page of the site, you can find out all about us. You can take a look at our case studies. We've got examples of our work, some very, you know, big names of people who have worked with us, including some founders, founder of Gymboree, for example, is a longtime client, and, you know, friends of ours who vouch for us, you know, the founders of Barefoot Wine, founder of Make-A-Wish Foundation, things like that. So look around the site, but at the very top on the front page, there's a place that says Book a Consultation. Click on there, and I'm actually going to give you, anybody who's listening today, if you go on there, I think we can do this for about 2 weeks after we air this, book a strategy session. I'll give you actually 20 minutes of my time to go over your business. And mostly what we focus on is publicity, but we also, you know, are a full-service marketing company, so we do everything. But I can tell you really what messaging you should be going for and how you can really get the publicity and the exposure that you need. That's really kind of our strong suit. I've personally been on over 2,000 interviews in the media and sold hundreds of thousands of dollars in individual interviews to the tune of millions. And it's the words you use and how you approach it. You can take the same topic and just change the words, and then people instantly get it. And most of the time, you need somebody outside of your business to tell you. You really do. You're too close to it. You need to talk to somebody about, you know, when I talk to customers, this is what I say, and I go, I say this instead, and it opens eyeballs. It makes a huge difference.
Yeah, I know. It's so important, because it's like everybody's in a vacuum and they're using acronyms that nobody knows, or they're talking about something that people don't understand. But Dave, I want to thank you so much for being on today. It was really awesome to have you, and I will look forward to talking with you again soon.
Well, I want to thank you very much. I also want to thank my team, because I wouldn't be here without them. So I appreciate everyone who's gotten us here.
Excellent. Thank you. Paul, I'll give it back to you.
You've been listening to another episode of Outstanding Outbound right here on the SLMA Radio Show. All part of the Funnel Radio Channel for at-work listeners like you.